Okay, how about that? That's a bit. Is it on now? Good. Demonic activity, I'm so leery of demonic activity. I believe it so much. You know, they talk about, UFOs and all this type of stuff. People, they're demons there, period. I'm not giving credit to all the UFO things. I'm just saying there is a supernatural army out there, and it's real. And it's becoming more powerful and prevalent in America as we become more drug-oriented, as we become more heathenistic, a nation, and broken homes, and the wandering souls of young people, as well as adults. Now, many adults are becoming very, what I call wandering souls, because they just have nothing to anchor their life in. Nothing's working, nothing's going on, and in their soul that they can anchor into, because everything's just tore up in factions in America. People's souls, people's lives, people's marriages, people's homes, and you just gotta have something. If everything's falling apart, and as far as the stability that man knows, you've gotta have it. And where all of that wandering is going on, you're going to have the wandering spirits. In other words, you're going to have demonic activity. When I was a child, it was primarily in the African countries that we thought about it and heard about it and read about it and dealt with it. Missionaries would come back, and that was another reason I didn't want to be a missionary. They'd come back, not only did they have to eat funny food, but they ran into funny experiences too, really weird stuff. And now these things are in America, and every now and then it makes the papers, and they'll find where, 100 bodies have been buried that have probably been in some type of rituals and stuff. So all these things are just growing and mounting, and they're reality, and the reality of people. And you can hear it in the music, you can see it in the art. Or, I'm sorry to use that word, it's really not art, but you can see it in what passes for art. And we're living at a really interesting time in our nation's history, and not a necessarily a comfortable time, but it's also a wonderful time to walk by the Spirit and to live a Christian life. And what we are in the midst of looking at, people, is to me the great issue in pulling together the seen and the unseen realm. Remember that you and I live in the seen realm, but as I hope now it is so familiar with you that Job tells us everything that's going on, that things that happen in our lives here, up here is the battle in the unseen. I'll put the unseen up here in the unseen realm. Here we are in the seen realm. In other words, we walk by sight. We can see and what's happening in our lives. Here's the unseen realm. And people, it's what's happening up here that affects what's happening here. And we have to be able to see that. Have to be able to see that in our marriages, in our homes, in our lives, that there just are no accidents. There are no accidents. And where do you get the understanding of all of this? Here is God and Satan, Lucifer, and they're having this confrontation. They're having a battle, if you please. They're having a real debate going on. And the debate is about this man, and his name is Job. And if you just read every now and then, you ought to just read Job 1 and 2. You ought to just pick it up and read it. I want to read something, I would say once a month. I'm always reading it. I'm always reading Job. There's a lot in there I don't see yet, but every time I read it, more and more comes to play. Yeah, people, I can do some Greek, Hebrew word studies and teach like that. No, I don't do that anymore. There are things I don't understand what's going on instead in Job yet. A lot I do. But I'm not afraid to tell people, no, I can do your word studies and put it together and all that, but if I'm going to be an honest Bible teacher, there are things that I still haven't. The main thing we've just been doing with verse 1 of chapter 1. I mean, look how long it's been, and I finally got that one pinpointed down, and what's going on. That's his problem, not his glory. But what you can see in those first two chapters is this is the unseen realm. And what is, and I've told you so many times, we've seen what? That this is the first book God gave us. It's the first book. It's the first thing He wanted us to know. And what He wants us to know is there's something going on up here in the unseen realm. There's this confrontation. Now, let's be sure that we add to that so that we're not misunderstood here, that God is allowing. Because we all know all God has to do is go, and it's over. We know that. This isn't like sovereignty fighting sovereignty. This is not like two NFL football teams fighting each other. One's just a little stronger than the other. No. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that God is allowing this. It's like a parent. Like Rick and Terry, if they got into a confrontation with Thomas. Now, Rick and Terry just, that's it, boom, it's over, shut up. But they tribes will interact and do a verbal confrontation with him. They don't have to do that. And that just gives you a finite idea of what this is going on. But God is allowing this confrontation. The confrontation is going on. There's a battle and, a fight going on up here. And we can't see it. It's in the unseen realm. Job's down here thinking he's figured out God, trying to live what he thinks is a good Christian life. We'll call the word Christian. Trying to live his great Christian life for God. Just trying to raise his family correctly. Trying to do everything right. And then all of a sudden, pardon me, all hell breaks loose in this man's life. Okay, that's the unseen. What's going on? I mean, he gets the part of the scene realm. What happens now is, how am I going to handle what's going on in the scene realm related to this? And how am I going to see up here, people, this is what faith is all about. Faith is our eyes that takes us, penetrates us from the seen world to the unseen world. It's our faith. It's not a knowledge of superior doctrine. We need more doctrine to understand all of this. No, it's not doctrine. It's a matter of allowing our faith to open our eyes as to what's going on in this confrontation between God and Satan. Then things start happening in our lives, and things happen in our lives. We have to be able, and I say we have to in the sense of, if we want to enter into this thing in the way that God wants us to. We need to be able then to realize, except things that happen in our lives related to this unseen realm. No, not just related to my wife's volition. It's just related to my husband's volition. It's just related to people making bad decisions. It's just related to not knowing enough. It's just related to sin. See, these people are all down here. They'll never penetrate what's really going on. Therefore, their solutions are all going to be down here. But when you're able to realize that things going on down here in this scene realm are part of what's going on up here, that's in the soul and the spirit, and people, you're able to realize where we're going to have to go and what we're going to have to do. Now, as we grasp this, what's going to happen is that we begin to realize what becomes powerfully important in the scene realm. More than any other one thing in the seen realm is divine love. Or, when it comes through us, spiritual love. The love that God, the Holy Spirit, divine love, pours through us, and it becomes spiritual love. It's processed through us. This is what you and I have to do in the seen realm toward one another, because we're in this battle. Job had three close friends. They all attacked. He had a wife. He attacked. There was not one person in Job's life, and he was the Christian of his day, not one friend in his life that could come to him and sit down with him and say, look, this is what's going on. You need to walk by faith here. They all attacked. We love to attack. We love to assess who's responsible, place blame. Americans love to place blame. Who's at fault for this? Who's at fault for that? We've got to see somebody. We've got to blame somebody. All this kind of stuff. We're not able to penetrate into this unseen realm that there are things going on up here that I don't begin to understand. I don't begin to know. I don't understand this relationship. I defy anyone to try to understand this relationship that now is in the second of three universes. God's toleration of this creature and his army, I don't even begin to penetrate that. I just know it's there and I accept it. And I trust him. Because I know the things that are going on down here have to deal with right here. And that's why people, when things are going on with Christians' lives, this is what is needed, is a spiritual life. Now, we have started our study in 1 Corinthians 13 of the descriptions of these things. And I want to move to, does not act unbecoming, but I'm not going to not have on tapes, because we need the tapes, what we've done. And right now we're dealing with that love is long-suffering. Now, some passages interpret that first word as patience. I'm going to deal sometime with you the difference in different words for patience. This word means long-suffering. Transliterated, macrothumia. Macrothumia. And what you have is long, and then this deals with mind, long mind. In other words, long-suffering. This is what comes about, long patience, long just letting this thing go through. So you got an intensified with this prefix. So you got long suffering. So what I want to deal with now, we did a little work on it. We went to the Hosea to get an example of it, God's long suffering love in the story of Hosea. Now, I wanted us to see tonight how this is so vital in this unseen battle that we're in, this unseen realm that we're in, and the way we have to deal with each other that are in this battle. Christians have this ideal of judging each other, separating each other, getting into corners and getting into the denominations and getting into all of this kind of stuff with each other, and all it's all in the seen realm. And we've got to just cut through that. And what people need, I don't care what's going on in their life, it's spiritual love toward one another. And I want to deal with some points on this. Point one. Spiritual love, people, is resilient. It's resilient. What does that mean, resilient? It's enduring. It's enduring. It's resilient. It just takes it. It just takes it. You can beat it. You can stomp it. You can just you can send it through the five major airports and it'll make it through luggage in all five and come out unscathed. It's resilient, enduring. Continuing point one, it is a such makeup that when the force of some injury or some wrong is pressed against it, spiritual love persists. It doesn't give in to the pressure. It is of such makeup that it just keeps pressing against opposing forces. It just continues as long as it takes. So point one that I want you to begin to see is what's so important about love. Well, one, love is long-suffering. Well, what does that tell me? Well, that tells me, coming off of demonstrations of Hosea and the audio introduction, which I won't even repeat tonight, I got to move. But what it is what we're looking at is that love is resilient. It's resilient. It can take it. You can beat it. How can you beat it? You can be Hosea's wife and go to bed with other men every night, night after night after night, and Hosea is okay at home. He's resilient. People here suffering. Please understand that. Don't take that away. We have the word suffering there. But what I'm saying here is that it suffers without giving in. I mean, if we just use a silly example, I don't know where it came in my mind, but we just take a piece of luggage and, yeah, it suffers. It takes the beating and the throwing, and they jump up and down on it, throw it up in the air to see how many will fall open and all that. So it's going to take the beating, the suffering, but it takes it. And when it's all done, your luggage comes out without even a scratch on it. That's a good piece of luggage. That's resilient. That's an enduring piece of luggage. That doesn't exist. But that's what you want. That's what spiritual love is, people. It's resilient. You can just beat it to death. You can just do all kinds of wrongs to it. And it takes it without cracking. That's what I mean by taking it. Point two. Okay. two forces pressing against each other. One force is spiritual life. The other force working against it, the other pressure against it, is suffering, injury, disappointment, sin. Just name whatever you want with it. Just all these things keep working against it. See? And all these forces are pounding against it. Now, what this means is you got a weaker force, sin. Listen to me now. You got a weaker force, sin, disappointment, hurt, wrongly treated, all these types of things, and they're beating against love. And love is such a resilient force, it's such a magnitude of force that it takes it. It takes it. So if this is what we mean by the resilient. And so, what the world is going to see, and what is the hurt and the wrong, and how we're disappointed. This is in the seen realm. People we can see when a wife disappoints her husband, a husband a wife, and by disappointment, let's go to the jugular, adultery. Let's go to just not even that bad, but as big a jugular as adultery, but on a day in and day out basis. Just no care, and there's nothing in this love, there's nothing in this marriage, there's nothing that presses against love, that beats it, and continues to beat it every day, and it's like water on the rock. If you look at the rock, eventually the rock starts changing its form. That's what happens in a lot of marriages. No, people, they're not out doing some horrible sinning, they're just dead, and love takes that. It just continues to take it. And we can go from those two extremes to everything in between. There's all kinds of abuse and neglect and hurt and attacks. And then we go to friends and we go to relatives and we go to family. And there's just things that constantly are beating against. Let's just put a circle here again. This is spiritual life. They're just constantly beating against it, beating against it. There's sin, beating against it. Somebody sins against you. Somebody fails and disappoints and hurts and on and on against your love. Spiritual love is resilient. It just keeps taking it. It keeps taking it. So point three, what is so important about maintaining your spiritual love? This is what is so important about it, is that spiritual love is the immune system in our spiritual life. It just takes it. It is I'm going to call it a weak example. Those that suffer from it don't consider it a weak example. But a lot of people suffer from various allergies. And when I guess we're in that time of the season, a year, when there's new things and people are out there, their allergies are all act up. And what is an allergy? It's these things in the air, these unseen things, and they just... from all kinds of things and plants and stuff that happen in the air in different localities. And you can just travel. I understand the difference between even Houston and Dallas is remarkable to people who have allergies. It's really remarkable. And, of course, we know the difference between, say, here and maybe like Arizona. And what are we talking about here? Let's say you're someone that this doesn't, these things don't affect, you don't see them. And they're not affected by them, and you see people walking around playing in their throat, and it's allergies, and it's this kind of weed and that kind of weed, and you look around, what are you doing sniffing weed, all the stuff that's in the air, and on and on and on. Well, what's happened there is you've got an immune system that just recognizes who you are, and all these things. The same thing that's hitting this person that's suffering from it is hitting everybody around them. Let's say there's two people, and they walk through a field, or they walk through a street, or walk through a day, and one person's their eyes are going, and their allergies are acting up, and then the other person just, what? What are you talking about? There's nothing in the air. I don't see anything. And their immune system is taking all that stuff and saying, not harmful, not going to hurt, and just, work it off. Okay, this is going to be bad. Get it out. See? What a lot of this sinus stuff and everything it's the immune body not recognizing itself, and so it goes up and hurts itself. Because what's there isn't an enemy, but it recognizes it as it is, so it attacks itself. And so what happens is spiritual love, people, these things just keep attacking, and spiritual love just comes up in the immune system. Here's spiritual love, and here's your spiritual life. And by spiritual life, I mean you're walking by faith and these kind of things. And spiritual love just puts up this immune system. And it just, and what you want to have is this healthy immune system. And we've learned so much about it in the last 25-30 years, mainly because of AIDS. But we've learned a great deal about the immune system. We're a very immune system conscious society and world, not just society, but the whole world, and how important it is. How it breaks down, if we could keep that going. It's now being related to growing old and the old age thing, and if it has to do with the immune system. So, kind of working on that. People, what is the immune system for our whole life? It's a spiritual life. And you want to have a powerfully strong and healthy immune system, and that's what spiritual love is for each of us. It is the inner immune system to our spiritual life. And it can take all these things going on, all the abuses and all these things, and it just takes it and it sends out, as it were, these T cells and get up here and block it and won't let it penetrate. Won't let it penetrate. Won't let it penetrate into the soul. So in a little bit we're going to go through a list of forces that press against our love. And I'm going to go through them with you. And it presses against our spiritual love, like diseases attacking our body. We're going to study these diseases that attack the Christian life. And when these diseases attack, they make us feel anxious. And we will see that it does not matter whether they are major diseases or whether they are just ones that just keep on attacking and working against us, minor or major. They remind us of our own place, and they remind us of who we are and our own insignificance. How can you do this to me? How could you hurt me like that? Why do you do this? And we become very conscious of me. You're very conscious of yourself when you're hurting, when your body hurts. You're not. How many of you thought about? Well, let's just have a little fun. How many of you thought about your shoulder today? Your left shoulder. I dare say none of us did, except Steve. Steve's the only one that thought about his left shoulder today. He's got every time, you know, he changes clothes, showers, anything he does, he's his left shoulder in the sling, and he can't move it. He's very conscious of his left shoulder because that's what's suffering. When things start happening to us in life and with our family, our friends, in the church, in our work, in our social life, we start really becoming conscious of ourselves. And we become conscious, like we become conscious of our own body, where we get sinuses and we get problems and all of this. Okay, this is what spiritual love is about, people. It's about protecting you. It's going to keep you from rebelling. It's going to keep you from getting out of the spirit-filled life. As we saw, that's why we studied Hosea, and I keep going back to it now. It's what's going to keep Hosea from doing what? Going and murdering his wife. Going and murdering one of her lovers. Or doing harm to himself. Going and murder himself. Or going in divorce. Or do a lot of different things we could talk about. Spiritual love is going to hold him together. That's how resilient it is. That's how powerful this is. This is what it's going to take to lay down our lives for one another. So this is what spiritual love is going to do for us. And so we get these things that build up, and anxiety that builds up in our soul, and the anxiety often will cause stress on people. That stress attacks other parts of the soul, other parts of our lives. And pretty soon you have people in our society today that are just stress-ridden. And how many books and how many things do we have and classes and seminars and, well, I just go back to books and tapes on how to handle stress. And it's everything from, you know, handle it in the gym, handle it with diet, handle it with this, and handle it with yoga, handle it with all of these things. People, stress is a reality. This is the one that God did. This is the one God gave. So as we learn about how to deal with our physical immune system, the types of herbs and vitamins and things that we want to take, and minerals we want to take, and how to deal with our immune system, that gives us a clue to think about, well, what's my spiritual immune system? How's that going to work? And what God has given to us is spiritual life. And that's going to block off stress. It's going to block off. It's going to just resist, if you please. It's going to resist. This thing would cause stress. This would cause more anxiety that somebody sins against us and keeps sinning against us 7 times in one day. And the pressures and all these things that keep beating against us in the society we live in. Yeah, it's going to cause stress, anxiety, all these things in the soul, people. We're going to need something. We're going to need something. So if I don't have spiritual life, then I got to go find other things to keep all of this, to keep myself, my sanity going. Got to run from it, separate from it, get away from it. That's not the solution that God has given us, people. He didn't give us the solution of running away. He gave us something so powerful. He gave us an armor, if you please. That armor is spiritual life. We're going to have to probably somewhere along the line in the midst of all of this look at Ephesians chapter 6, people. It's such a powerful chapter. Put on the whole armor of God and pray. They're the most powerful commands in your life. And we're going to see how all of that works together in with spiritual love and what some of that is that's going on. So these diseases and all of this keeps coming into our lives, and that's why we need something that is long-suffering. Long-suffering. You take things, and I'm not into it, but, you know, this allergy thing you see on TV will last you all day. This will last all night. Well, that's what we're talking about with long-suffering. It's long. And as long as you just keep walking in the Spirit by faith and this love is poured into you, you'll be surprised what happens in your life. Like, well, I found something that, boy, just, you know, it's going to get me for the next 6 hours. I'll just take this, the allergies. I can walk through a field, and I found this medicine now. And man, I can just walk through the worst type of weed, and boom, it doesn't even affect me. And man, that's really great. You get excited about it. Those of us who don't have that, we go, okay, fine, we're happy for you. But to a person that this really annoys, so this is what we have in the spiritual life, though. And we all have this one. Nobody's exempt. What people do is they build a wall. They build a wall. It's like a phrase in one of Hank Williams' songs of old. He just said, if I didn't love you, it wouldn't hurt. Whatever you did wouldn't hurt me. And that's what a lot of people do. I'm just not going to love. I'm not going to get involved, because if I do, it's just going to end up hurting. That's not the solution God gave us. God did not give us a solution to run. He gave us a solution of spiritual love, that we can enter into the domain of life and still have this resilient immune system working in our behalf. That is what God has given to us. Point four, spiritual love is a manifestation of divine love in the new spiritual creature. Spiritual love is the manifestation of divine love in the new spiritual creation. And one of the primary characteristics of divine love, by that I mean of God's love, is that it suffers long. That is what the whole of the Old Testament is about, dealing with Israel. That's what our study of Hosea taught us. God's love toward His chosen nation, Israel. His love for Israel suffers, if we want to look at it that way. And that's what the Bible gives us, so we're not out of line. We're not saying God's getting out of kilter or anything. We're just using that for the example. His love suffers. They're not doing what He wants them to do. They're not responding to His love. I love them from their youth, and this is the way. I give them things, and they go offer it to Baal. I give them cattle, and they go offer sacrifices to Baal. I give them incense, and they go offer to Baal. What are those things about? Those are about my son. Incense and sacrifice, they should be about my son. And they blaspheme with it. They offer that to Baal. God's love is long-suffering. Otherwise, people, He'd have just done them on. He'd have done them out. It'd have been all over. I'd have destroyed you. But then we realized at our study in Hosea, how can I do that? I can't be your God. I love you. I can't do that. So this becomes something so powerful in the way that we deal with one another in this Christian life that we have here in this seen realm, because it's related to the unseen realm. We're able to penetrate up here. And what God has given us is spiritual love that allows us to be able to do that, so that we see the long-suffering of God's love. Divine love is long-suffering. Divine love refuses to cast out Israel. These things we saw in Hosea. Even when they persisted in their turning to other lovers and idolatry, divine love forgave. Divine love saw after union. Can you imagine that? Not only does Hosea not murder and divorce and all that, he not only is just going to be long-suffering, but he actually seeks union. He seeks union. How could you want to go to bed with a woman that's had lovers? How could you do that? That doesn't even enter the equation of love. It's long-suffering. How could God, and I say that, people, because I want to make it as base as I can for us to understand God's love. And that same love flows through us. That same spiritual love. How could God, why would God even want Israel after they've taken incense that's supposed to speak about the death of Jesus Christ, his own son, and offer it to Baal? How could he, why would he even care? This is what love does. This is what love does. This is long-suffering of love. This is the resilience of love. We can look at it and say, well, that's not right. You got righteousness, justice, and all. Because you haven't grasped the spiritual love yet, people. And I'm trying to tell you, that's what this is all about. It's the love of God. His love. What his love is dealing in regard to this creature right here, I can only imagine in my own mind and my own soul. I don't teach it. But I believe. But there's something going on between God and Satan here. But he's long-suffering. Now going into the second universe, forever how many centuries the universe has been going on, it's going into that realm. Divine love seeks after union. It seeks the way to form union, to form reconciliation. Hosea, be putting in the Hosea terms, how can I get this woman back and how can we come together and make this a home again? Are you kidding? A home with a prostitute? Yes, I'm not kidding. And yes, that's what I want. And I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to be resilient here. That's what love says. God says, yes, I'm going to wait. Prodigal son's father, I'm just going to stand here. I'm going to stand as it were every day, and the lights are on, and I'm going to stand at the door with my arms wide open. Is he coming home yet? That's what love does. That's resilience of love. Take however long the prodigal son was out into his debauchery. Doesn't matter how long it was. A year, 2 years, 5 years, it doesn't matter. The father waited. That's the resilience. That's the long-suffering of love. Otherwise, the father would have said, that's it. He's out of the will. He's out of other. Take his pictures off the wall. Cut his picture out of any family picture. He's not here anymore. We don't know him. Don't want to see him. Long-suffering of love just waits. And seeks a way of reunion. Seeks a way of reconciliation. So this is the love that is given to us. This is the love that we have. So, these are the things that we're studying. Let's close in a word of prayer. We'll pick it up at 0.5 next Tuesday evening. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are that our brief time together tonight has taken us once again to what kind of God you are and what your love is like. Father, we make no pretense. We will never be able to understand your love, for your love is beyond understanding. But you have given to us glimpses of it. This is a glimpse of it. And even with understanding of the Word and the various things that we look at, even we, Father, know that we have not even penetrated the long-suffering of your own love. But what we have penetrated, Heavenly Father, is your own love toward us, and that we have penetrated with personal experience. And we see it lining up and see how this thing is going on in Scripture, what kind of God you are, what kind of love you have. Kind of love you are. And Father, we desire that love to flow through us, to give us that same resilience to our family, to our friends, to people at work, to social life, church, everywhere we go, our entire environment. This love may manifest itself. Therefore, Heavenly Father, your Son is manifested. Because it is not our love, but it is his love manifested in us. Father, we praise you for the God that you are in your Son's precious name. Amen.